Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. We've got a jam-packed hour today. Glad you're with us for the Hoosier Report. We do this each and every weekday at 11 a.m. It's complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Some really neat things going on. Josh Rogers, New Albany product, played baseball, obviously, for the Bulldogs, went on to have a great pitching career for the University of Louisville, has been in minor league baseball now for a number of years, got traded earlier this season from the Yankees organization to the Orioles organization, made it as high as AAA this season, and has been there, I think, for most of this season, getting a start tonight in Major League Baseball. He will be the starting pitcher when the Orioles take on Toronto tonight in Major League Baseball. That obviously is awesome to see a local player, a guy with ties right back here to Southern Indiana that has had a fantastic career at every stop that he's been from high school to the minor leagues, now getting that opportunity for a potential breakthrough in Major League Baseball with the Orioles. We will talk about that today. We've got a special guest that will join us to help set up Josh's pitching performance tonight. Let's get right into the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Tuesday show, August 28th, after we do some news and headlines of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, we'll have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg's segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing, and Greg told us a story. It's been a few weeks ago. It's come up since then about his father and Little League Baseball back in Mississippi and a segregated league, and just a tremendous story when we were talking about New Albany's success and getting to the Great Lakes Regional. He just took time out and told us a really cool story that day, and he has now written a column about it. The column has received great reviews, a lot of feedback, all positive from what I've been able to tell, obviously. And so we'll catch up with Greg about that story and how it has really become a big deal, become something that I think people were really impressed with how Greg was able to put that story together, like he always does. He's a great storyteller and a great writer, which is an unbelievable conversation. Greg will join us also to talk some IU football. Of course, yesterday, one of the backup quarterbacks, Brandon Dawkins, leaving the program. Still no word on if he plans to transfer and try it somewhere else or if he's going to remain in Bloomington as a student for Indiana. Also, today we'll be joined by John Mioli. John Mioli is the beat writer for the Baltimore Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. And I was able to get in touch with him yesterday to talk about Josh Rogers' performance, or upcoming performance, I should say. His start tonight, he's going to join us at 11:30 or so in the program to talk about what this opportunity is for Josh and how it came about. Obviously, the Orioles are not setting the trail on fire in Major League Baseball, needing some pitching help. They've tried a couple different options, and Josh is the latest to get an opportunity on the mound for Baltimore, and we'll talk about that situation in more detail tonight and what Josh needs to do to maybe secure a spot in that Baltimore pitching rotation for the remainder of the season. So we'll talk with John Mioli of the Baltimore Sun coming up later in the program as well. And then, in the final segment, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join us. Mike is at the football press conference. Of course, it's a different conference, a different update than what we've had every other week of the summer, because the first game is Saturday for the Hoosiers on the gridiron. Mike will be able to report in with the latest from Coach Allen. We'll also talk a few basketball things, basketball recruiting things, specifically with Mike when he joins us today as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned Josh Rogers getting the start tonight in a Tuesday night game for Baltimore playing Toronto. Reliever Cody Carroll, he was optioned to AAA Norfolk yesterday, which opened the roster spot for Josh at AAA Norfolk to make the journey to Baltimore to join the team. The game, obviously, tonight for Toronto will be Josh's first pitch, first start, first anything in Major League Baseball. 24 years old. He has had five starts for the Norfolk Tides, which are the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. He last pitched on August 19th. Since that point, his pitching has kind of been limited, which had some wondering if maybe he wasn't being eyed for an opportunity to pitch for the Orioles coming up soon. He has an ERA of 2.05 in 30 and a third innings for Norfolk this season. Obviously a huge opportunity for him. I've already heard from some people, multiple places in Southern Indiana going to have the game on tonight. You know, Baltimore and Toronto, not necessarily a game you would expect to see on network television tonight, but there are ways to watch it if you've got the right MLB package, and a number of places planning to air that game, to show that game, and I know that there'll be big crowds there, as there always are when there's a great sports headline in Southern Indiana. That's one of the great things about this area. People get behind their teams. People get behind their players. If you're from here, you're always from here, and you've got a loyal fan base when you come back here. So Josh Rogers getting the start tonight. We'll talk more about that later in the program. Also, a couple other notes, basketball recruiting-wise. ESPN released their new top 100 rankings in the 2019 class. Always interesting to kind of compare and contrast the different national rankings that are out there. Really, there's two or three different ones that people pay attention to. ESPN has Trace Jackson Davis at number 16 in the country, listed as a five-star. He would be the highest recruit per ESPN rankings that Indiana is involved with at this point. Also, Keon Brooks, he's next at number 33. He's a four-star recruit. And I'm wrong here. Isaiah Stewart is number four in the country, listed as a five-star. He would be the highest-ranked recruit that Indiana is involved with in the national rankings. Matthew Hurt, also at number six. So a couple in the top 10, according to ESPN. Then you get to the Indiana guys of interest. Trace Jackson Davis is 16th. Keon Brooks is 33rd. Armand Franklin is unranked. James Booknight, 87th. Obviously a guard that Indiana started to get pretty involved with in the month of July. Trendon Watford is 23rd. He's considered a five-star by ESPN's new rankings. Zeke Engie was 37th, a four-star recruit, and a number of other players that Indiana has some connection with, scholarship offers out with, being ranked in that top 100 from ESPN. So interesting to compare and contrast. Isaiah Stewart, number four. And, of course, he just cut his list to six. Indiana, one of those six schools included in his top six. Also, a few other things. Remember Darius Baisley came to New Albany, played for Princeton out of Cincinnati, Ohio, had a great game going up against Romeo Langford. It was a terrific battle throughout the game. A lot of talent involved in the game. It was on ESPNU live from the doghouse. He announced shortly after that game, I guess a month or two following that, that he would not go to Syracuse to begin his college basketball career as a freshman. He's been pretty much regarded across the board as a top 10 prospect in his high school class, and as someone that maybe would be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft for the next summer, this upcoming summer. But spurring the opportunity to play at Syracuse at least for a season, and said he was going to enter the NBA G League, which is a path that we've yet to see a player coming straight from high school do. Obviously, as it stands now, even though there's the thought that this is going to change perhaps soon, a high school player cannot go straight from high school basketball to the NBA. So instead of going to college for a year, his plan was to enter the G League, play with really good players, train, work out, be seen constantly, because all the G League teams obviously have one or multiple affiliations with NBA teams, and then go into the NBA draft. But obviously some complications with that, because you have to be drafted, which he would probably be the top pick in the G League draft for this coming year. But you the team really doesn't keep their rights to you. Just because they draft you now doesn't mean that they're going to, with, of course, the G League, a lot of it's a two-way league now. There's back-and-forth players going between NBA teams and G League teams. Obviously, too, he's going to go to, is the number one pick to the worst team in the G League, theoretically, from last season, which makes you wonder, who's he going to have around him? Is he going to have to carry the load? Is he going to maybe underperform because of that? Could that help hurt his stock instead of helping his stock rise, playing in front of all the NBA and NBA G League personnel on a regular basis? So thought it was an interesting storyline. He was gung-ho about going straight to the G League and making that his path to the NBA. No question about it, he's going to play in the NBA. Just a matter of where he gets drafted and what type of career he goes on to have. But the interesting thing is, we always have waited for a player to go the G League route and see if they can make it work. And I thought with Baisley we might get an opportunity to see if that process can play out, if that process could be one that, if the no jump straight to the NBA rule stayed as it is, if that would be maybe be a path that some of the top high school players would pick. But it doesn't look like we're going to see that with Baisley. He's going to take the year off. He's not going to play, obviously, college basketball. He's not going to play in the G League. He's not going to go overseas and play. He's just going to work out for a year. And obviously, that is a different path for sure, not playing in any sort of organized basketball to speak of, not being seen in March Madness if you're a college player, not being seen by scouts watching the G League or overseas professional basketball. So even though he's not going to the G League, I thought that would be really interesting to watch that play out. Even though that's not going to happen, still going to be interesting to see how a player takes this path and goes straight from high school to no basketball other than workouts and training, then to the draft for the upcoming season. Again, he's totally talented enough to play NBA basketball. This is just a much different path, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. Also, a couple other notes to pass along. Don't forget, week three of high school football continues this Friday. Good slate of games. We'll start talking about Friday's games in tomorrow's program. But don't forget, Kentuckiana Football Fridays begins at 6 o'clock each Friday here on the Big X with our kickoff show. We'll have multiple games we'll be tracking. We'll have play-by-play crews at this week. And then when it's all said and done, we have our scoreboard show with interviews, scores, highlights, coaches calling in, media calling in, radio play-by-play men calling in. It's a great way to recap football each week. And when you put it all together, from kickoff show to play-by-play coverage to the scoreboard show, we've got about 5.5 hours or more of local coverage in high school football each Friday night here on the Big X. So don't forget to tune us in Fridays for complete coverage of high school football, covering it a little differently, covering all the angles, all the games this season here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more from Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. Greg's chat is presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk some IU football. We'll bring up Greg's column on his father in Little League Baseball, a tremendous story. If you haven't read it, it's out there for you now. And, of course, you may have heard it here on this program a few weeks ago. But we'll talk with Greg next, coming up here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by Coffee Crossing on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg is with us, and Greg, I want to start with IU football today. Obviously, it's game week, a big one on the road to open the season at Florida International. But first, Brandon Dawkins, backup quarterback who was intriguing, who likely, according to Tom Allen, would have gotten time. It looks like all the quarterbacks would have gotten some time, even though he wasn't named the starter, abruptly leaves the program Sunday night, Monday morning, the week of the first game. Very odd.
Very odd, and on the one hand, you know, there's obviously two sides to this. There's his side and the other side. And on his side, I mean, up to a certain point, I get it. You know, you got one shot at your life, you got one shot at your career. you want to go play somewhere, you're a fifth-year grad transfer, and I don't even know how the rules are. I don't know if you can go somewhere else and play tomorrow. I have no idea, but maybe you can tell me that in a minute. But he's got one shot at this, and he didn't come here to sit behind anybody. So, again, I get it from his point of view. I do get it, but there's another side. And the other side is whatever school let's say he can play somewhere else next year, this year, whatever. I don't want him. I want him if I'm a really small school and my quarterback's hurt, then okay, I'll take him. But this guy's already quit twice. And again, from his perspective, I get it. I get it. At Arizona, you got beat out by a guy that might win the Heisman. You're not beating out Khalil Tate. You're going to leave. And you got a free transfer year. Why not? I get it. You come to IU, you get beat out, and you're not going to play much, and you're not happy, so you want to leave and you want to go somewhere. I mean, I get it from his perspective. I do. But there's another side. And the other side is, two-time quitter, and I don't want him anymore. And so, and bottom line is this: if there was any doubt that, and I'm not sure about, let's just take Penix out of the argument, Michael Penix. Let's just assume he was never going to start. If there was any doubt between Peyton Ramsey and Brandon Dawkins, any doubt at all, Dawkins just answered that by showing who he is.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Yeah, very interesting. And he even made comments, and I'm paraphrasing, that when asked by reporters back, you know, during the quarterback race, the three-way race that went, you know, pretty deep into fall camp, that I'm not just here to be the starting quarterback. I'm here for the experience. I like IU. I like Bloomington. And then all of a sudden it doesn't go your way and bam. You know, unless there's more to the story we don't know, it just isn't a good look. I think you can take that to the bank.
And let me also allow for that. There often is, right? I mean, there often is. When something weird happens, you're like, wow, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, or that looks bad, or that makes him look terrible, or whatever. There is so often another side that we don't know. There's information we don't have. And I'm not saying for sure there is. As I've said, I have no idea. But I do want to allow myself that small out, as I call him a quitter. I do want to allow myself the out that I could be wrong about something, that it's possible. Only these people know. I mean, maybe somebody promised him something. Legal, you know, a starting job. Maybe he was promised something and feels like he was lied to. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? But you actually hope there's something else there, and not that. You don't hope that anybody promised him a job and lied to him, but you hope there's something there we don't know. Because if it's just merely what we see on the surface, it's a real bad look for this guy. And you know, I talk to journalism classes from time to time, and especially at college classes, I tell them, you know, every story you write is the most important story you've ever written. And there are going to be times where you're tired and you're sleepy and you don't have great material or whatever, and you're going to be tempted just to give in and just kind of mail that story in and be done with it. And I tell them, don't ever do it. Because once you mail in something one time, it's sure a whole lot easier to do it a second time. And it'll be a lot easier to do it a third time. Either you decide you're a quitter or you're not. And of course, one little story in one school paper doesn't compare to a college football career, but you know, he quit at Arizona, and by golly, it got a lot easier for him to quit at Indiana, didn't it?
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. You know, long term, over the next 4 years for Indiana football, with Peyton Ramsey the starter this season, Pinnock's going to get some obvious time, I would say. Would be shocked based on how Tom Allen set up his comments when announcing Ramsey as the starting quarterback, that all three of them would have gotten some time, at least it's the start, possibly, it sounded like. But I wonder if long-term for Indiana football, having an impressive quarterback that's had some of the reviews and ratings that Penix has had, isn't a good thing. However, it's Indiana football, and I'm not sure that Tom Allen or the IU fan base or anybody can afford to look too far into the future, given that they do need to make some serious improvements and gain some ground with each season that goes by, as they somewhat have in recent years.
Yeah, the thing about this transfer as it relates to Penix, as far as I'm concerned, is he was probably going to – because if he didn't win the job, then you don't burn a redshirt year on a guy that's going to be going to play part-time. Now, they've got these four free games all true freshmen can play and keep the redshirt. So he was going to play that for sure, and now he'll play those for sure, obviously. But the difference between now and then was, you know, Dawkins was your backup. And you're definitely going to redshirt Penix unless he just flat out wins the job by, you know, week two or three. So they were going to have four more years of Penix. And most importantly, that fifth-year senior year way down the road was going to be special. Well, now he's got to be the backup, right? I mean, I guess in theory they could have somebody else that could be the backup emergency basis and don't play Penix unless you have to. But this almost tells me that maybe you play Penix one game early and then you just hang on to him. because maybe Ramsey, you know, if, heaven forbid, Ramsey gets hurt in game 9 or 10, you can play Penix and not burn his redshirt year, and you still have two great quarterbacks playing for you. But what you can't do is give Penix 3 or 4 games early, and then IU's got a bowl game shot, but in week 9 Ramsey gets hurt, well, then what? So, yeah, this is – Dawkins just messed up a lot of stuff. I'm not sure what you're saying about Penix being a good thing or – I mean, it's a great thing for if you're saying he. Are you saying he might clog the recruiting?
No, I'm saying that long term he's going to get some real experience and some real opportunity as a freshman, perhaps.
Oh.
But I'm not sure that IU fans and even Tom Allen can wait, you know, 3 or 4 years to utilize a guy that's got some experience as a young quarterback.
Right, and we'll see. For sure, he'll get some experience this year for sure, and it's going to help him. You know, that redshirt year. As a football purist, I don't really love it. Just if only because I don't like change, and it's never been that way before. And you tell me something like this is different. Like I'm sure I would have hated the DH back in 1973. I like it now, you know. So and top 40 music. The first time I hear a song, I hate it every time. You play it 35 times, eventually I'm gonna start liking it. So I'll like this 4-year, 4 game free shot. But yeah, Penix is. I mean, on paper. None of us have seen it really happen, but on paper he's special. On paper he's, and on paper he's more special than IU ever gets at quarterback, and that could change, you know. But from this day going backward, he's the most special quarterback recruit they probably ever had. As I think I was telling you last week, though, this quarterback derby was not Tom Allen was not dealing from weakness. He didn't have 3 mediocre choices and hope that one of them looks decent enough that you pick that guy. There wasn't a terrible choice in the group. I mean, Dawkins. Apparently, the worst thing about him is his leadership. But you know, Dawkins on paper looked really good. Penix on paper is the best recruit they've ever had. And Peyton Ramsey last year set the IU record for completion percentage in limited action. But still, I think they're in really good hands at quarterback. I've told this for weeks. They're in good hands at quarterback. Just because you have 3 quarterbacks doesn't mean you don't have 1. I thought they had 3. Now I know they had 2, and they still have 2.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also the opener this week, it's in Miami against Florida International. Your thoughts on that game to begin the season, the 2008 season for Tom Allen and the crew?
Real dangerous. I hope that IU fans are prepared for a loss. Prepared. I have no idea what's going to happen, but Butch Davis, he's the coach at FIU, right, Butch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I mean, he's a big-time coach, right? And as far as and we don't know what Tom Allen is yet, but on the surface, on paper, there's a big coaching edge at FIU. You know, one resume doesn't look like the other one, right? But beyond that, FIU, you know, schools like Indiana and Purdue, especially Purdue, Notre Dame, they dip into Florida when they can. You know, obviously Indiana dipped into Florida and got Penix. Well, FIU didn't have to dip anywhere. FIU's there, and they're not only are they in Florida, they're in the best part of Florida. They're in Miami. And it's one of those deals where, if you don't get one of the best 25 players, if you're in Indiana and you're not among the top 25 players, unless the analysts just were terribly wrong, you're probably not really going to be a great college player. But in Florida, they just don't. There aren't enough numbers to give all the great recruits rankings. There just aren't. So you can be literally the number 75 player in Florida, and you're going to be really good. And FIU gets those guys because Florida and Florida State and everybody else picks through the best. So this is a dangerous, dangerous game on the road against Butch Davis, against that roster. Again, if I'm IU fan, I just be prepared. This it might look easy or sound easy. FIU, what is that? Not going to be easy.
You mentioned Davis, previously a coach at Miami, North Carolina, and I forgot about this, the Cleveland Browns, although his record in Cleveland obviously wasn't great, but he was the head coach there.
Yeah, and did some real scummy stuff at North Carolina, and you know, I'm not a fan of him at all. And he shouldn't be coaching, you know. Period. I don't like this. But he is. I didn't hire him. Not my problem. But, no, I'm not – as far as, like, X's and O's, and he was never brilliant at that anyway, but he's got – his resume says he's pretty good. We'll see. But as far as human beings, I'll take our coach over theirs.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I love the column on your father and Little League Baseball in Mississippi. And as I read the headline and then I read the story – I thought, you know, that sounds familiar. I think Greg gave us a sneak peek of that story right here on the Hoosier Report. And I'm not sure what I like better, your storytelling on the radio or your ability to put it in writing, both obviously. And I tell you this about every week on your work, but very, very, very good. It's been interesting to see all the positive comments. I mean, I follow your stuff on social media, and you can be a real firecracker at times. You get a ton of replies, and I know a lot of people, I'm sure, contact you, email and all that, but this has been one where people have really taken a liking to this, and it's just a tremendous story, and I think it all hit home with the Little League World Series playing out, and of course some of the things we talked about as New Albany tried to make their journey to Williamsport. The timing on all this was perfect, both on our program and, of course, more so your column to your readership through the Star.
Yeah, and I think that, and thank you for all of that. I think that talking to you and talking about this story, because you every week you've been asking about Little League because New Albany's doing so great, and so I think at one point I wanted to tell you about my dad, and I remember sitting there, we were talking in the car that day, and I remember thinking, I need to write this. So sometimes I get my story ideas from my own mouth, but not from my brain. Like, I hadn't really thought about it until I was telling you, like, wait a minute, I got to write this. Little League World Series going on right now. Let me write this story. But, yeah, it's rare that you get a story, in my line of work anyway, that just universally gets praised. There might be people that didn't like it, but I didn't hear from them. Universal praise. And that's rare, but then again, who would dislike this? You know, what kind of idiot would publicly dislike this story? Basically, in a nutshell, my dad, we moved from Oklahoma to Mississippi in 1978. Granted, it's Mississippi, and Mississippi is a punchline in race relations in a lot of ways, and deservedly so. But this is 1978, you know, and Jackie Robinson had integrated baseball 30 years earlier. But so my dad signs me up for the league that he's told to sign me up for, and we show up and for basically tryout day, practice day, draft day. That's how they did it. And my dad looks around, and I didn't realize this. I'm 7 years old at the time, but my dad looks around and realizes there's no black kids here, none. No black coach, nothing. And he realized, and then they were talking about the field. Anyway, he came to realize we're in a segregated league. We just joined a segregated league, and I'm coaching in it. My son's playing in it. But he decided to stick it out because he'd committed to it, and, you know, he's got a sense of honor and duty and whatever. But he decided to stick it out, and as he told me for the story, he didn't even know I was interviewing him for the story. He had no idea. I was just talking to him. I was writing down everything he said, but he didn't know. He didn't know it was going to get written about. But as he told me, I decided to, you know, we're going to stay in that league that year, and then I was going to destroy it. And I get goosebumps even thinking about that. Somebody was going to destroy that league, right? It was going to happen. So my dad is not like this one-in-a-million long-shot guy that someone came in, and that'd still be segregation in Oxford, Mississippi right now if it weren't for my dad. It was going to happen. Just a matter of which guy showed up and did it. Well, my dad showed up and did it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Greg, tremendous story there, no question about it, and we appreciate you sharing some of the things that you do with us. And also, I want to get your comments, I'm sure you don't know this, but New Albany has a product of New Albany High School. He actually played basketball for 1 year, but obviously was a standout pitcher, went on to the University of Louisville to have a great career, has been in minor league baseball, was in the Yankees organization. That's where he was drafted by a number of years ago, has worked his way to AAA, got traded to the Orioles maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, starting tonight for the Orioles, got called up yesterday.
Dream come true. I hope and I bet he's got people from New Albany who will be in the crowd for him because they can, at that level, you can afford to fly people up and all that. That's amazing. You know, like the Little League World Series, a dream come true for most of those kids because they're never going to go farther than that. Todd Frazier did, but it doesn't happen very often. But for a kid from New Albany to be in the big leagues, that's, you know, it's once in a lifetime, and that's literally a statement. This night will never happen again. Good for him. Good for the whole damn town. You know, it takes a village to raise a kid like that. Good for you, village.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. A lot of fun, Greg. Thank you, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Matt, if you've been hearing my cat cry at me in the background, I apologize for that, but I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. When you're looking for great coffee downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread and pastries, now serving breakfast and lunch. Again, 410 Bakery and Cafe, located in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. Speaking of Josh Rogers and his start tonight for the Baltimore Orioles, his first ever Major League Baseball appearance, we are going to be joined by the Orioles beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, John Mioli. He'll join us in the next segment to kind of set this scene up. How did this opportunity, how did this opening, how did this need come for the Orioles to call up Josh Rogers yesterday to make his debut tonight? A lot of people excited. I mentioned earlier there's going to be a lot of watch parties at some of the local places. I've heard Barno's in New Albany going to have people out and extra staff coming in and planning to have a big celebration so people can watch the game. Pretty cool stuff. But that's, as I said, that's how we do it in Southern Indiana. That's what makes this place special when it comes to its sports. We'll head to a break. We'll be joined by Orioles beat writer John Mioli after this on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Of course, a lot of excitement about Josh Rogers, a New Albany product, getting his first ever Major League Baseball appearance and start tonight for Baltimore as they host the Toronto Blue Jays. We're joined now by John Mioli. John is the beat writer for the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun, does a great job covering that team, and is kind enough on short notice to join us and maybe help set the scene up about how this starting opportunity, this call-up opportunity from Norfolk, the Baltimore AAA affiliate, happened. And John, welcome in with us today.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about kind of the pitching situation and maybe some of the surrounding things that have played out in recent months or so to open up the need for some additional pitching and this opportunity on this Tuesday evening at Camden Yard for a New Albany guy.
Well, I guess on the wider sense, I mean, I don't think anyone needs to, you know, be explained. The Orioles are like having a very, very tough season, and pitching was something that they took a lot of pains in the offseason to shore up. They entered spring training with only two established starters in Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman. They went out and signed Alex Cobb and Andrew Cashner, who have, you know, filled rotation roles. Cobb was bad in the first half. Cashner's been pretty good throughout. Cobb's been a lot better second half. But they also brought back Chris Tillman as their fifth rotation spot. He was a guy who struggled in on their own major league team last year. They basically gave him mulligan, brought him back. But his spot has basically been open the whole year. He pitched four or five outings, didn't really get anything going. His spot's been open. So they've been using that to give some of their own minor league pitchers a chance. David Hess, somebody who benefited from that, he pitched yesterday. Jimmy Yacobonis, who's been pitching with Josh Rogers down in Norfolk, he's gotten starts from time to time. Jeffrey Ramirez, another former Yankees product. And now it's Rogers' turn. They used Ramirez out of the bullpen on Sunday night, really just kind of give him a break from some of the struggles he's had. So now it's Rogers' turn, and they're really, I think, in a place where they just want to see some of these guys they have. They've already used five players now, including Rogers, of the big trade deadline moves they made in their return, and it's really a good opportunity for someone in kind of a no-pressure situation to get their feet wet, something that I think if he had stayed with the Yankees, he might not have had. They don't really have low-pressure situations there.
John Mioli, the beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, covering the Orioles, is our guest. We're talking about Josh Rogers getting the start tonight against Toronto. Now, you've covered Major League Baseball. You've been around Major League Baseball for a number of years in a media capacity. Can you maybe, you? I guess you could do a better job than I can, but can you summarize the quick change? And I'm sure that Josh had to know this was coming. I'm sure when the trade happened back in July, where I think five pitchers were acquired in that month by the Orioles, but and obviously their situation in the standings and where they're at right now. But you go from Norfolk to Camden Yards pitching your first major league game. I know you say there's no pressure involved given the situation with the Baltimore team, but what a change in scenery for a person to go from AAA to Major League Baseball and get the start.
It is, but just not having seen Josh, not having ever spoken to him or even really talked to anyone who's coached him, he seems like the type of pitcher as kind of a left-hander who's got an idea. He's not going to go out there and overpower guys. He strikes me as someone who kind of knows what he is and what's going to make him successful. And I think in an environment like this, a guy like that can be better because he's not going to go out there and, the first sign of trouble, he's not going to say, okay, well, I'm going to throw as hard as I can and see if I can get out of this. He's going to pitch. He's going to spot up his fastball. He's going to keep guys off balance. He's going to go out there and do what he can do. And I think that pitchers of that type, especially guys, Toronto probably doesn't have the best scouting information on him. They might not be as up on what he is. Guys like that who have that kind of, whose arsenal suggests that they're a little more, you know, maybe calm, maybe in control. I think that an environment like this is actually good, because if they do get into trouble, they could say, hey, you know, I can get out of this. I know what I can do.
Talking with John Mioli, the beat writer for the Baltimore Orioles. He writes for the Baltimore Sun. One of the parks that I've always wanted to see in Major League Baseball is Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Kind of set the, you get the opportunity to cover a lot of games there, and obviously down on the field, in the press facility, around the stadium, set that scenery for us as well. I think it's one of the great parks in Major League Baseball, and it's a park where Josh Rogers will throw his first Major League pitch later tonight.
Look, you're right. Yeah, we're very fortunate to get to come to work here 80-something days a year. On days like today, I don't know what it's like down back there, but it is it's 95 degrees with 105 heat index. So days like today, late in the summer, when it's hot and the air is sticky like this, the ball flies out of it really well. So on that, from that front, it might not be the most fun to conditions to be making a major league debut, but Josh has pitched in Scranton, which isn't far away from here. Norfolk has similar conditions, so those things won't be too unfamiliar for him. But I think just in terms of the environment, it's not going to be a huge crowd. It's not going to be overwhelming. Other than the fact that it's a big league debut and you're wearing a big league jersey and you're facing guys who you've heard of and you've seen them on TV and you've looked through their baseball cards as a kid. That's really the only thing that's going to, environment-wise change. I don't think it's going to be one of those, crazy environments. And the Orioles had a Sunday night baseball game on Sunday and had, a half full stadium for it. It's not like there's going to be a tremendous atmosphere for this one.
John Mioli, beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, covering the Orioles. Thanks for coming on with us again on short notice to help set the scene up for the major league debut of Josh Rogers. Sounds like a real audition opportunity for him with the struggling Baltimore team. Also tonight, you'll have a lot of clicks on your story coming from New Albany and Jeffersonville in southern Indiana. They follow their players pretty closely, and obviously Josh is someone that we've had on this show multiple times. In fact, he's come in normally in the off season a couple times in studio to join me and co-host a show with me. So everybody pretty proud of him. And John, really appreciate the insight that you bring from the Orioles perspective, and it's been interesting chatting with you today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. This is always the good part. This season's been pretty tough for everyone on a lot of levels, but to see these moments, people getting to make their major league debuts and test themselves against the best players in the world on a base level, that's pretty fun. So I'm glad that you guys get to enjoy it, and I'm glad that I was able to help.
Absolutely. John Mioli, beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, covering the Orioles. We'll be checking in on his coverage of Josh Rogers' debut tonight. It's a 7:05 first pitch. It's Toronto at Baltimore, and again, a lot of places in the area hosting watch parties and celebrations, so you can get out and find a place to watch the Orioles play tonight on television. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, IU football, Tom Allen's press conference, I believe, just ended. We'll also talk some basketball recruiting as well, coming up next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
A basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Beegs.com is our guest. We're talking IU football and a little basketball recruiting as we have time, I hope, in this segment. Mike, first, you are fresh out of Coach Allen's press conference, media availability for the week. Anything new on the Brandon Dawkins situation? Was that even addressed further today?
No, because Coach wasn't there, but it was pretty much a case of a guy
who kind of came here to be the quarterback, and then who didn't win the job, didn't have his heart into it. I don't think there was anything other than that. And he was actually running 13 quite a bit late in camp. So the number of snaps that he was going to get was just not really there, and unless somebody got hurt. So, you know, and he had kind of come to play, and when that doesn't happen, sometimes a kid can react that as what we saw. So, you know, he's also somebody who's been in college for 4 years, so his academics are, you know, a lot of that work's already done.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. With that behind us, I guess now the focus for IU football fans is on the game in Miami on Saturday. And it's definitely, I think, a game Indiana should win, could win, but a game more so that win, lose, or draw, I think they're talented enough, Florida International's talented enough, that IU fans will learn a lot about their team for this upcoming season, some of their strengths and some of their weaknesses. It's a strong opening team for Indiana to play.
Yeah, when you go on the road, and it wasn't easy 2 years ago. I mean, they you know, had a good second half, but there's so much talent in Florida that the Florida Atlantics and the Florida Internationals, the Central Floridas and the South Floridas are all really good players. And, you know, today we're talking about all the Florida players that are on the team. I was talking to Nick Westbrook about 5 minutes ago, and he's, you know, there's a real buzz about this game because of so many of the guys that are from down that way. And they have their Tampa contingent and their Orlando contingent and of course, the Miami contingent. They're super excited because they'll have all their family there. But I think that actually helps Indiana, gets them pretty motivated. So many guys from that hot weather environment that they're going to be in, even though it's a night game, it'll be difficult in that respect. So, and I think that helped them 2 years ago when they pulled out the opening victory there.
Talking IU football with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. I do want to catch a couple basketball recruiting topics with you in this segment. Zeke Nagy, he is from Minnesota. He is kind of on a tour of unofficial visits in the Midwestern area right now, and he was in Bloomington to see Indiana's campus over the weekend. I think it was on Sunday. A player that, and it's interesting, Indiana's been pretty active with some guys in Minnesota thanks to the connections of assistant coach Tom Ostrom, and of course Race Thompson is on the roster. He is from Minnesota as well. But Nagy, taking a look at Indiana, Purdue, Ohio State, Notre Dame, maybe a few others as well before he heads back to Minnesota, and then he's expected to cut his list down. Indiana has been active with him, in on him for a while, and I think that Ostrom's connections to the state of Minnesota, its high school coaches, travel coaches, his background there has been very helpful in this recruitment and others, including Matthew Hurt.
Yeah, you run through a lot of those schools, and they don't have those kind of Minneapolis area connections that Indiana has. We've also heard that he's a very we're kind of looking to go to a blue bloodish type program. And Indiana's up there in that regard as well. If they had a good connection there when he was in town, that'll be a big deal. I think he's going through so many visits, it's almost like I've never seen anything like this, because he's hitting the Midwest and then going to UCLA and Arizona on the back end of this family deal, kind of like a family vacation, you know, / campus trip to the extreme. It's hard to say where the chances are, because, you know, back to back, it all kind of runs together for a kid. But if he does have a good connection with Indiana, that's, that this one, it's really hard to predict. Kansas made a late offer, and they were rumored a lot, but we do think he's going to go away from Minnesota. Minnesota's program is, you know, not done well recently. So, you know, there's a real opportunity to grab Minneapolis players, and Indiana is one of those schools that's already done that.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com here on this Tuesday program. Also, ESPN released their version of the 2019 player rankings. Interesting to see Trace Jackson Davis at 16 in the country, and listed a five-star Keon Brooks Jr. at 33rd in the country, listed as a four-star. Always curious, and, you know, rankings are rankings. We all have our opinions, and they're or a handful of the national rankings that probably are even worth paying attention to. ESPN, 24/7 Sports, obviously, those are some that are very worthy of paying attention to. But interesting to see some of the diversity, some of the differences in those rankings, how different people view different players. But one thing that I think has been fairly consistent in some of the updated rankings that have come out post-July is that Trayce Jackson-Davis is gaining some ground on a national level.
Yeah, I think he might be 14th in the new 247 Sports rankings. He got better as the offseason went along. He was a little bit more consistent than Keon. I think Keon had a little bit of a knee issue, nothing serious. And also, he's a shooter, so he'll go hot and cold. Well, Trayce, you know, mainly a 15 feet and in type score, so that'll lend itself to more consistency. But Trayce made that USA team, and that was really difficult to do in June, and that was a big deal, proving himself against top players in the country and getting that foreign tour experience. And he had a real nice finish to his July, so he earned it, and he's just getting better. He's been, he wasn't really a big recruit 2 years ago. You know, we weren't talking about him as a huge freshman in the state of Indiana. He became that really after his sophomore year in high school. And he's kind of on an upward track and just continuing in that regard. And he always looks a little bit bigger when you see him. And he's moved into a five-star when we didn't really know that there was a five-star in the making his first half of high school.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us on Tuesdays here on the show. Mike, thanks for the chat.
All right, Matt. Take care.
That will wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Don't forget, if you miss a show, we're available on podcasting, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcast. For SoundCloud, just point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. For Apple Podcast, just search for the Hoosier Report. Leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in our program. And you can listen to the show through both of those platforms on demand. If you miss a segment, you miss a full show, you can go back and hear something for a second time. Always available for you each afternoon after we wrap things up here on the Big X Sports Radio. Another plug as well for Kentuckiana Football Fridays. Every Friday night during the high school football season, it starts at 6 o'clock with an hour-long kickoff show. We'll have play-by-play coverage at multiple games this Friday as we rove around to the big plays and big games in Southern Indiana, and our scoreboard show at the end of the night to wrap up everything, again, on both sides of the river, for hearing from coaches, media, and more. That wraps it up for Tuesday. I'll be back with you on Wednesday. Good luck, Josh Rogers, with the Orioles tonight. We'll catch up tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report.